Our scripture reading is from Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. You can follow along on the monitors or on your pew Bibles of the New Testament, page 141. From Miletus, Paul sent a message to Ephesus, asking the elders of the church to meet him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink back from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house, as I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see my face again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Keep watch over yourselves and over the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. I know that after I have gone, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some, even from your own group, will come distorting the truth in order to entice disciples to follow them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to warn everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. You know for yourselves that I worked with my own hands to support myself and my companions. In all this, I have given you an example that by such work we must support the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. For he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. And then they brought him to the ship. Thanks be for the word of God.
So I first want to begin by just acknowledging Jared and his gifts of ministry and thanking him for those gifts before I preach. As you know, I've been doing this as I wrap up my final Sundays with you. I want to do that for our clergy members to express my gratitude to them. Jared has a special place in my heart because he was one of the young men that I was able to mentor in ministry here at Altadena Community Church. He was our seminary intern for a year, and it gave me great joy to be able to see you grow. And as I continue to watch you grow in your ministry, that gives me great delight. I still think of my mentor in ministry, and I wouldn't be who I am today without his guiding me and helping me figure out what this crazy thing is called ministry, and how do you do it, and how do you survive it. So I hope you've learned something that will be helpful along the way. Jared is an ordained minister in the United Church of Christ. He has a specialized ministry, is what we call it. He is a hospital chaplain. He is on staff at St. Bernardine's Hospital in San Bernardino, California. He lives in Glendale. So for 5 days a week, he gets the joy of driving from Glendale to San Bernardino and back. And in the in-between time of that going and coming commute, he spends his time on hospital floors, taking the good news to the people who are sick and broken and afraid. And he gets to walk in and maybe have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 maybe if he's lucky. But I can tell you those people will never remember probably what he says to them. What they will hold on to is his presence. The fact that he showed up and embodied Christ's love. And that's what chaplaincy is all about. And you do it beautifully. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to partner with you in that ministry when you need clothing for those patients who come in off the streets, whose clothing is taken off in the medical procedures and they have nothing else to put on. And we've been able to give you that clothing for your clothing pantry that you keep there, or clothing closet, whatever it's called. And so thank you for letting us be a partner of that ministry. And just finally, as you grow older, you should be wise and always look for a doctor that's younger than you. So that person will be there taking care of you the rest of your life, right? Well, that wisdom applies to pastors as well. You should always look for a pastor younger than yourself who will be there to do your funeral. My funeral is planned. If you ever need it, I've got a copy of it. Jared will have a copy of it because he is much younger than I, and he has many more years of ministry. And my other colleagues won't be around probably to do that for me. So I've already secured his services, and any of the rest of you are here, you'll know why Jared will be there celebrating my memorial service. He will be leading that, and guess what? He gets to have the final word about Joe McGowan. Thank you. So on to the more mundane things of ministry, stewardship. So you just heard Paul's farewell speech. It's much better than the one I'm going to prepare in a few weeks. He kind of sums up for the Ephesians what he has done with them and for them, how he has modeled God's love to them. He's about to embark on a ship. It's going to take him to Jerusalem, and his hindsight is spot on because he will never come back to Ephesus. When he goes off to Jerusalem, it's going to be for the end of his journey. So he's saying farewell. He's saying goodbye. He's reflecting back into a life of ministry that he has spent with this congregation, perhaps more time in Ephesus than any of the other churches Paul ever visited. And as he thinks back about his ministry, he says to them, I have no regrets. I'm leaving you in good hands. I'm leaving you in God's hands. And I think it's very odd that the last thing he speaks to them about is stewardship, because they probably had to pay their bills as well. But he's not talking about just giving of your money to keep an institution running. He's talking about the broad sense of stewardship of the giving of yourself. Because in this farewell address, he has talked about the benefit of giving. The giving of his time. The giving of his concern. The giving of himself. And that's what true ministry is about. Whether you're a chaplain in the hospital or a pastor to a congregation, you are the giving of yourself. And you do it daily. And he quotes Jesus, who talks about stewardship and giving, and says you should give out of the generosity of your heart. It's extravagant giving, if you will. It's the theme of this stewardship campaign, as you will see up there and as you will see on the letterhead for the letter you're going to receive today. Living generously is what the Apostle Paul is telling us we should do. So the question obviously is, how do we do that? You know how to do it. It's quite simple. There are two parts to it, to stewardship. It is the giving of yourself. That translates in today's world to the giving of your time. actually one of our most precious commodities, and probably most of us, if not all of us in this room, would say, but Pastor, we don't have enough time to give it all away. The other part is about giving of your treasures. Today's words, that's your money. That's what's sitting in your wallet, your bank account, or your pocketbook. That's what stewardship is all about, those two things. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit this morning. The giving of yourself. Has your experience been like mine when you do some kind of volunteer activity, whether it's your church or a community organization or just helping a neighbor or friend out? Don't you feel good when you do that? A few weeks ago, I spoke to some new volunteers we're training in our hospice work. And I thanked them for agreeing to volunteer. And I said, as you do this, you're probably going to find what I have found in volunteering. I said, when I do that, I feel like I get a lot more out of it than I'm giving. They were all shaking their heads as you're doing it this morning. Because that is true. Just think of the opportunities here. Just think when you have a chance to give out groceries on Saturday morning, or prepare a meal or go serve the meal on Sunday night at Union Station at the Family Center, you probably come away from that experience really feeling good about giving up a little bit of your time, knowing that you're helping someone because your stomach is so full that they may not have such an experience. And you're really providing a need. For those of you who are going to the nursing center, Two Palms, today, you're going to spend an hour with seniors. Most of them are pretty lonely. Many of them have no one visiting them. They've pretty much been left there for strangers to take care of. You're giving up 1 hour of your week to help somebody else feel good. To help somebody else have a smile on their face because some stranger cared enough to come spend an hour with them and bring the love of God. To sing some hymns, have some prayers, to lift them up just like you're doing now. But more than that, to say, I'm here because I care about you and your life. And I can tell you the volunteers who will be there today will be richly rewarded for that experience. Those of you who were here for hours with us yesterday helping our larger church have its association meeting, and you were behind the scenes with your smiles, greeting people, making a meal happen to feed all of those folks who were here doing the business of the church, you should feel good because you gave an extravagant welcome. You gave up the gift of your Saturday morning, and you made these people feel welcome at this place. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. The giving of yourself. You have plenty of places you can do it. You can do it right here. You can do it in many community agencies and organizations out there. You can do it in the neighborhoods where you live, in the places where you can work. The opportunities are unlimited. What is needed is your desire to give of yourself, to put others first and say, yeah, it'd be nice just to kick back this afternoon and do nothing. But maybe the greater reward would take that afternoon and go do something. Go do something for others. Go do something to make your world a better place. Second aspect of stewardship that follows the giving of yourself, the giving of your time, is obviously the giving of your money. This is part of why I'm preaching today, because this is the Sunday of the year we talk about that and what the needs of the church are for the coming year. And how will you respond to that opportunity to give? I read a weekly news magazine that has a little section called It's Not All Bad. Because, you know, people complain sometimes the news is all bad. So they put in this little section, and they have vignettes that they pick up from time to time of some good things that actually happen out there in our world. And those little stories that touch me the most are the ones that have a financial component to it. And I'm really amazed by the magnitude of generosity that is out there. And I'm going to just share a couple recent ones that I've read that touched me. They're just an example of some of what appears. You know, right now in the Midwest, there's a lot of flooding because of the winter snows that have been in an abundance in this country, and the rivers are rising, and people are having terrible times that live in those areas. And a woman in Kansas lived in a community where a shoe store, one of these shoe chains, was going out of business. So she had the bright idea of going to that store and negotiating a deal with them. She gave them $2,500. And in return, she got 500 pairs of shoes that they were trying to liquidate. That comes out to $5 a pair per set of shoes. She put them in her car and she took them off to an area near her home that was experiencing this flooding, simply because that was an idea that came to her of something she could do to people who had to leave their home in a hurry with only the shoes on their feet, no other shoes. Those probably got wet and ruined and destroyed. And what would be a greater gift than to somebody to have a new set of shoes to get a new start at life? Or I read about a couple who were on vacation going through Georgia, and they were having breakfast in a coffee shop. Their waitress and some of the other waitresses were talking about a fellow waitress who had called in that day because her car had been breaking down. She couldn't get to work, and they were worried that she'd probably get fired. So the couple asked their waitress, "We heard you talking about your friend. Tell us more of the story." They said, "She's a single mom. She's got some kids at home. She's trying to take college classes at night to better herself. She's living on a, you know, between a rock and a hard place. Well, what does she need?" Well, she tells us, the repair guy, she needs about $500 to get this car fixed so it's up and running again. They left five $100 bills in an envelope with the lady's name on it, paid their breakfast bill, and went on their vacation. They begged to get their name and number so they could give it to their friend so she could thank them. I said, "We don't need thanks for this. You hand her the envelope and just simply tell her God sent an angel today that crossed your path. That's all she needs to know." Where might you be an angel to cross somebody's path today? You may not think you have much wealth, but you are incredibly wealthy compared to most of this world. You have more blessings and resources than probably at least 80% of the world's population. So don't think you don't have it to give. Paul would tell you to loosen those purse strings a little bit and let some of it flow. Because that was Jesus' wisdom as well. Jesus knew we would be captive to that money. And if you really want to be free, you've got to give it away. Don't hoard your riches. Share the wealth. We're asking you to give money to the church, and you probably say, "Why does the church need the money?" It will touch people's lives that you will never know. Your money will help join other money, and it will do ministry around the world with people you will never meet or know. But you might just, through that giving, be an angel who crosses their path. You're going to give money to help keep this building open. Most of you only see it on Sunday morning, but there's a whole lot that goes on here during the week. This building is open because of you, and we have school, and we have young preschoolers learning how to live together and get a start in the world. You have 12-step groups that meet here during the week that give people hope in their addictions and their struggles. You provide the site for 30 to 40 families to get food every Saturday morning. That's the kind of thing that you're giving to a church budget does. People that you will never meet, but you are impacting lives. So today we're going to give you your opportunity to be one of those angels, to give some money, to give it away, to give it to people you'll never meet. You'll never know how much you're touching their lives, but trust me, you are. And I hope as you do it, you will be that cheerful giver that Scripture talks about. and that it will make you feel blessed as you give a blessing to others. So take your envelope, bring it back next week with your response, and let's see what God can do. It is a wonderful opportunity to serve others, to give of yourself. It's an amazing way to bless the world. Think of all with which you have been blessed. Don't you have a little something to share? Life is truly forgiving. That's what I learned in Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. In that story, perhaps the most powerful scene is after Jean Valjean, whom you know struggles to survive, has gone and received the blessing, the help, and the support of a bishop. But while he was in the bishop's home, he took advantage of that support and kindness and stole some candlesticks, realizing that bishop probably had more stuff than he would ever need. He could use that to sell it to get bread to feed himself and his family. Well, the bishop realized later on that the candlesticks were gone and reported the theft, and they found the candlesticks later on in Jean Valjean's stuff. He was taken before the magistrate. The bishop was brought in to testify. And in the midst of that proceeding, the bishop had a change of heart. The bishop dropped the charges against Jean Valjean, came up with some story to the magistrate of must have been a mistake or something, but he got Jean Valjean set free. And then Jean Valjean obviously asked the bishop, "Why did you do that?" The bishop looked him in the eye and said, "I have learned that life is for giving." Where are you going to give to someone else and change their life? Amen.